feel like we're pretty close to being in those survival cycles right now. I used YouTube a lot. I wish
I love that.
I wish that I had somebody in town that I could have called on to help. There was a study that a surgeon in California had done, and he had a 13-year-old patient that had blew both knees out playing basketball. And he took, with the CT scans and MRIs, he took those home and printed them out on his personal 3D printer. He did mock surgery in his garage, and he was able to knock 2 to 3 hours off the surgery and save up to $5,000 performing the surgery.
All right, welcome back to the Middle Tech Podcast. You've got Logan Jones and Evan Knowles here. Today we are recording out of Complete 3D, which is a 3D printing company based here in Lexington, Kentucky. So we're going to get to talk to Eric Sparks today, who's the founder and CEO. We're excited to dive into that company. But before we do, let's just get a quick word from our sponsors. Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com. Middle Tech is sponsored by Bolt Marketing. Take your website to the next level with a website that's built to work. At Bolt Marketing, they're revolutionizing websites for small businesses that are affordable, customizable, and hassle-free. Whether you have a construction company, a boutique clothing store, or you own a hot yoga studio, they have options for you. Click the link in our show notes to explore their marketing options that can transform your marketing and grow your business. And as a personal note, Bolt Marketing built our website, and they were awesome to work with throughout the entire process. We highly recommend working with.
Middle Tech is also sponsored by GoTenna, the world's leading mobile mesh networking provider that's revolutionizing how first responders and defense teams stay connected during critical missions in austere or comms-denied environments. They partner with Kentucky's defense tech innovators, ensuring secure and reliable off-grid connections. If you're a founder looking to enhance your technology's communication capabilities for off-grid operations, GoTenna is looking to collaborate. Check them out at go.gotenna.com/middletech. Or reach out to us to get connected.
All right, Eric, we are sitting here in your print farm. We're gonna use that term since we're just talking about it. We got all sorts of stuff going on behind us, things being printed and whatnot. So we're excited to be here and talk about Complete 3D. So thanks for taking some time to join us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for coming by.
All right. Well, cool. Well, we're excited to learn about, you know, what exactly you guys are doing in the 3D printing space. But I was looking at the notes that you guys had put together. You got a really cool story of how this company was started, you know, all the way back in COVID and how you all were adapting what you were doing during that time. So tell the story of starting Complete 3D.
Yeah. So I'd got my first 3D printer right before COVID hit. So December of 2019, just started printing out trinkets and stuff for my son, his class, shortly after COVID hit. And some of our medical friends at UK knew that we'd got a 3D printer. And they needed PPE items, and we started printing those. After a couple hundred of those, we're like, well, we'll just keep making these. And we posted on social media about it, and 2 or 3 short months, we had made over 5,000 PPE items out of our house with just 2 3D printers.
PPE items, what is that?
Personal protective equipment. So one of them was a mask strap. So it took the pressure off of surgical mask off your ears. The other one was plastic face shield. So they could buy the plastic face shield that protected their face with the mask on, and all they had to do was put straps on it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember whenever COVID hit and there was like a bunch of those types of shortages. So I'm sure it was just you had the 3D printers and you knew what was needed, and then you've all of a sudden got a company on your hands.
Yep.
So talk about transitioning from just kind of filling a need there and how you ended up doing this as your full-time job. What did that transition look like?
Yeah, shortly after all that started to slow down, me and my wife both were like, well, this could be something that could be huge. 3D printing's been around a few years, and when I first started with it, it was really slow to begin with. But we started making cosplay items, and my wife started a company, and quickly after, it just kind of developed our lives. And fast forward a few months into from 2020 into 2021, I quit my full-time job and started doing this full-time.
To walk through, you know, I feel like 3D printing has had, you know, hype cycles, several now. Everybody thinks it's going to, you know, take off for various applications. Where are we at in the evolution of 3D printing? When is it going to be more maybe consumer, but also commercially viable? Where are we at in those cycles?
I feel like we're pretty close to being in those viable cycles right now. One of our partners that we're working with is the University of Kentucky neurosurgery team. And they're doing pre-surgery models for patients. And with those pre-surgery models, they're able to do pre-surgery on them for the surgeons so they can get acquainted with it. But then at the same time, they can take that model and show it to the patient and show them exactly what they're going to do and what the surgery will look like. And at the same time, they're actually using this for resident education as well. So a lot of the residents were having to share cadaver skulls. And now the residents don't have to share cadaver skulls. They can just resin print their 3D skulls. And they all have individual personalized skulls.
And that was one of the parts I found really interesting when we all got coffee together and we're talking about what you guys are doing. You're not just 3D printing things. You're partnering with other organizations to Yep. help provide them with this technology and also help service the technology and educate people on how to use the technology. So talk about the company. Whenever you're meeting somebody for the first time and you're explaining what Complete 3D is, how do you explain what the company does?
We typically lead off with that, talking about with the healthcare, and then we kind of start figuring out how they can utilize the 3D printing in their everyday life. There's a company in LaGrange, Kentucky, and they do mannequins for DOD. So they use a lot of different processes. They use CNC for a lot of things for their mannequins as well. But then they figured out that they can 3D print a lot of their products and save a lot more money by using these processes.
Talk about you there, the cost savings of working in the medical field. You gave us an example of, I forget what it was, but when we were getting coffee, there was just a great example you gave of the cost savings and time savings of you working on these applications.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an example.
One of them, there was a study that a surgeon in California had done, and he had a 13-year-old patient that had blew both knees out playing basketball. And he took, with the CT scans and MRIs, he took those home and printed them out on his personal 3D printer. He did mock surgery in his garage, and he was able to knock 2 to 3 hours off the surgery and save up to $5,000 performing the surgery.
That's wild. And I'm sure we'll start talking more about some of the applications for it that you guys are really aiming after. But before we get there, let's just kind of talk about the mission of the company from a broader sense.
Yeah.
You know, what are you hoping to accomplish as the mission of Complete 3D?
Our mission is to help improve lives using 3D printing. And then it goes into creating awareness of 3D printing and what it can do.
Yeah, and I think that we were also talking, it relates back into education within schools.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm all for anytime I hear anybody trying to get emerging technology into the hands of children and teach them how to use it. Talk about the work that you're doing with some of the local schools here around Lexington.
Yeah, so we've partnered with Henry Clay High School here in Lexington, and the teacher there has started up the pre-engineering class, and they've got 10 of the Bamboo Labs printers there. And he's doing a lot of project-based learning. So he's giving the students projects to model out and 3D print and prototype. So he's just giving them problems and letting them work it out.
Talk about the economics of these machines that, you know, we see behind us. How has price come down over time, and where are they at now price-wise? And what does it look like for a school or a hospital to get one of these, you know, in their facilities, but also the service that you all do?
Yeah. So if just a general consumer wanted to get one of these, I mean, less than $200, you can get into it and started. Some of the next steps up, you can get into $299 to $399. That's when you start getting faster speeds with 3D printing. And some of the printers that I have, all the way up to $10,000. And then even past the ones that I can get you can get all the way up into the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, I'm sure the more advanced materials that you're using, you know, I've seen some of the technology of using, I guess it's still 3D printing with metals, right? Like
yeah.
That is a kind of a recent innovation that I feel like I've seen about it. But talk a little bit about some of the industries you serve. We've talked about healthcare. We talked about education. I'm sure manufacturing is a big one as well. Maybe let's dive into to each of those as we kind of go through them. We can start with healthcare because I know that you mentioned a little bit about working with the neurology department at UK. Let's dive into that one first and talk about how you're serving the healthcare industry.
Yeah, so we're working with the neurosurgery team at UK, and we just completed phase one with them in January. So that was a year-long process. They were doing the pre-surgery models and stuff like that for patients and residents. So now we're starting to talk about phase two and what that could look like. That's getting more into biomedical materials. So things that can be 3D printed and used in the OR room. Maybe not something that could be in direct contact with a patient during surgery, but tools that can make the surgeon's lives easier. Even with the pre-surgery models, those can be sterilized and used during surgery. So those are a tool that they can use. And then the biggest issue with healthcare is the waste. So we're going to try to help them figure out through NSF ways that they can recycle these OR tools and make a difference.
And then what about education? So is that Henry Clay example really the extent of what you guys are doing in education? If it is, where do you see that going over time?
Hopefully with that, it leads to more curriculum being created for K through 12, ideally between seventh and seniors in high school. They can take this and they can go into a specific field like healthcare or even dentistry, stuff like that. It's got a lot of room to grow.
And specifically in education, one of the things we talked about when we got together was how AI plays into this. Of course, everyone wants to talk about how AI is affecting everything else right now. And I'm sure 3D printing is no different. I think you had mentioned these AI models that can help you create the designs that the 3D printers use. So talk a little bit about that and how, you know, the children that are using this technology could potentially take advantage of kind of two technologies at once through that.
Yeah, so a lot of your CAD design softwares, you can use AI to help make models stronger. So they'll create a unique structure that can't be created. And even the 3D printers have AI built into them, so they know what to look for with failures in 3D printing. So that's always been a big thing with 3D printing is you'll get into a print and it'll fail halfway through and then you waste a lot of material. But with 3D printers now, the cameras constantly scan that model and they'll stop as soon as they detect an error there.
Very cool. And moving on to manufacturing. So obviously 3D printing, there's all sorts of use cases for it in manufacturing. How do you see Complete 3D getting into the manufacturing space with this?
Helping them figure out how to implement it in their everyday uses. One of them that comes to mind that the company's used it is Pepsi. So Pepsi's actually 3D printed bottle molds to prototype. So a traditional bottle mold, I think the company said it was anywhere between $20,000 to $25,000 per bottle for the mold. And they do anywhere between 5 to 6 designs. That's a hefty price tag. With 3D printing, one of the companies that we work with, they've got a material called PEEK. It's a very high temp material. And they can actually injection mold into that material. And a mold for that is $350.
I feel like we've heard a couple examples of where it's like you go from something like a $20,000 production price of it to a $300. That seems like it's pretty common in the 3D printing space. I mean, when you're thinking about these 3D printers and the inputs you actually put into them, can you just like, for somebody who knows nothing about it, where are these materials coming from? I mean, sometimes it's plastic, sometimes it's metal, but give us some insight into, you know, how these machines are actually working, what they're using to create what they're creating.
There's several different types of machines. You got FDM, which is fusion deposited material. And that's typically what I work with the most. And then you have SLA, sterile lithography. Forget what the A stands for, but it's basically resin. And then you have SLS, which is selective laser sintering. So with FDM, you have your plastic spools that looks like weed eater line. The resin is a liquid. And then the SLS is a powder. And then when you start getting into the metal materials, you'll have it's mixed additive in the plastic, and then you melt the plastic away and you're left with the metal part. But with the SLS, you have a metal powder and you're using a laser to build the part.
That is crazy that we've managed to figure out how to do that sort of stuff with these 3D printers. One of the other things we chatted about that I'd love to dive into is, you know, workforce development and thinking about things like the future of manufacturing and how that plays into what you all are doing here. Just talk about your vision for that into the future and how you're trying to help prepare Kentucky's workforce for more 3D printing in the future and how that fits into the economy.
Yeah, so with that, there's a lot of thought in the state of Kentucky needs to be a manufacturing state. It's always been in the coal industries. And with it being in manufacturing and in healthcare, why not combine both? And with that, we're trying to partner with a few different schools to come up with some curriculums to implement those. And it's always been hard for Eastern Kentucky counties to get into these because they are kind of so far away. But with some of the partners that we're working with, they have campuses that this can easily be implemented into. And as long as you have access to a UPS facility or a USPS facility, anybody can be a manufacturer.
Well, I think part of the issue with maybe getting workforce to come up to speed with these things is just they're kind of intimidating. They look very complicated. Talk through your own journey getting to this point where now you're working with healthcare companies, schools, manufacturing companies. You're an industry expert now at this point. So talk about, you know, your trajectory to get there and how you educated yourself.
Yeah, so my trajectory, I used YouTube a lot. I wish
I love that.
I wish that I had somebody in town that I could have called on to help. The first print ever done, I think I started at 6 o'clock one evening and I was up till 4 a.m. the next morning trying to get something going. So that's kind of how I got started. And anybody that has questions, like if they come to us, I always try to help anybody that I can.
What are the skills you need? So is it, are you developing any software? Is it design software you're using to create the specs for these things? Like what combination of skills do you need to make a profession in 3D printing?
With a lot of the brands that we have out now, like Bamboo Lab, they've made it easy that if you can think of it, a lot of people's already made what you've thought of. So they've got a website that you can go to. You can download the model. You can do it right from your cell phone and send it straight to the printer. I have a mechanical background and I use a lot of CAD and I self-taught myself how to use CAD. I'd never used CAD up until 5 years ago.
I think that is one of the reasons that 3D printing should be so appealing to people is there's not a huge barrier of entry to get into. Obviously it's like anything else. You have to take the initiative to go and learn it, but yep. I mean, it sounds like you learned it completely through YouTube yep. University. I yep. love that. And I think that leads into a good part of the discussion I'd like to hear your thoughts on, and that's your journey into becoming an entrepreneur. So, you know, you started in this just as a way to fill a need during COVID. Let's talk about some of the challenges and some of the successes that you've had being an entrepreneur. So what has been some of the more challenging parts of starting your own company here in Lexington, and what have you learned from that?
The most challenging part is the imposter syndrome, that I feel like that I don't belong. That's what I've struggled with the most. It's been a wild ride, but it's been worth every single hard second that I've encountered.
How have you gotten over imposter syndrome? That's a common thing many entrepreneurs face. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. Sometimes you just wake up and you're like, what am I doing today? Like,
yeah.
How did I get in this position? So how do you deal with that?
I have my sore front. And when I have somebody coming in and they said that they've been having this issue with their 3D printer for months now, and I can help them figure this issue out in 5 minutes, that's how I get over it. I've indulged myself into this industry and I know a lot. And I just have to keep reminding myself that.
Yeah, it's always fun when you learn something new and then you're able to talk to somebody that knows nothing about it, essentially where you were back when you first started, and you're able to help them out or solve a problem. That's a great way to kind of prove to yourself, you know, I'm supposed to be in the spot that I'm in right now. But what about some successes that you've gotten to experience throughout the time of starting Complete 3D? What about those?
A lot of the successes is getting set up, the printers in Henry Clay High School set up, and having previous customers that come into our store that's high school kids reach out to me like, did you put these 3D printers in my school? Like, how do I get involved with this? Like, I really want to help the teacher do this. That's probably one of my biggest success stories.
And, you know, throughout the podcast, we've started implementing a new series here where we try to get some social media content. So within the section, we try to say, okay, limit it to about 60 to 90 seconds. And I think you would have some good advice on this part, which is, you know, for somebody that might be, let's say, 18 years old, they're just kind of getting started in their career in the real world, and they think they want to be an entrepreneur. What would your advice to them be?
If you want to be an entrepreneur in the real world, set your mind to it and just go for it and don't give up with it. It is hard, but it's easily to overcome the hardness.
I think that's advice we get a good bit. And I think it's really good advice, because the only way to really learn, just like anything else, is by getting into it. Just like you did with 3D printing. You just have to take a shot at it and give it a try.
What's a contrarian take on entrepreneurship? Something that you think you do differently that you would advise other people to do?
My wife gets on to me all the time about making a checklist. Like, you gotta write what you're going to do down in the day and just do it. I've always had an issue with that if I don't do my checklist and I don't do a certain amount of things, that I'm a failure. But I've quickly come to realize that if I do make these checklists, and as long as I work hard at it and mark some things off my list through the day, I can get through it. So most definitely making a list and holding yourself accountable.
Yeah, lists are scary as an entrepreneur, because they grow. They never end. Yeah.
They grow, dude. Well, awesome. Well, you know, we do this series and we try to keep up with entrepreneurs as they build their business here in Lexington. You know, we've been doing this for almost 5 years now. So some of the entrepreneurs we're talking to in this season, we hadn't talked to in 3 years. So let's say 3 years from now, with the vision that you guys are building out here at Complete 3D, what are we going to be talking about in 3 years? In other words, what do you hope to accomplish in the next 3 to 5 years?
The curriculum. That is probably the huge thing. There's not a lot of curriculum around additive manufacturing and 3D printing. The curriculum that is there, it's not thorough enough. We've been to places and there's things going on that you're just like, well, I'm a hobbyist and I kind of know better than that. Just educating people on the rights and wrongs of 3D printing.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Before we let you go, where can people reach out to contact you guys and learn more about Complete 3D?
So we are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and our website is complete3d.com.
That is, just for anybody out in the audience that's listening, that is, God, I'm going to try and make myself spell live here. That's going to be rough. C-O-M-P-L-E-T 3, the number 3, and then D.
Yep.
Complete 3D.
That is correct.
Awesome. All right, Eric. Well, thanks again, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming in.